Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
10 o'clock hour from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke with you. John Chuckery back 7 to 11 on Monday. We do have Atlanta United soccer tomorrow night. Pregame at 7, kick at 7:30. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore live from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, as Atlanta United takes on the Montreal Impact, and we will have the full game for you then. I will be back after the hour today. I'll go grab some sleep, and then I'll be back again, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, 10 a.m. in the morning, for four more hours of this. You get a chance to jump in. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Braves tonight and that 2-1 win over the Rays. We're also talking about the Falcons, and the one thing that you see in this Falcons team that will lead them more than anything else. We've had a lot of great callers tonight. With a lot of great input here in terms of the way they see this Falcons team as being the kind of the point, the tip of the spear, if you want to say it that way, of what they're going to lead with that will take them to the NFC South title. And we've had people talk about the improvement of the roster and the depth of the team. We've had people talk about, fans talk about the fact that, you know, the schedule's fairly manageable and you know, the division's not that hard. We've also talked about the improvement on defense. We've talked about the coaching and the system and the culture. We've talked about the running game being even more dominant than it was last year, arguably the best running game in the NFL in some respects. I mean, they finished third, but, you know, the team that finished second was the Bears, and they only finished second because Justin Fields was running for his damn life. I mean, and they had run because that was the only offense they had. He'd get the snap, and there'd be like three guys, and he had run. I would really be interested, I know that this is over here, in seeing Justin Fields play on a good team. And the Bears could be actually a pretty good team this year. Their roster's really improved, so maybe you'll get a chance this year in Chicago to do just that. 404-726-0929. How about your Atlanta Braves? In the last 30 games, they are now 26-4. They have dispatched of the Mets, the Phillies, the Twins, the Reds, the Guardians, the Marlins. I mean, these are the best teams in baseball. These were the hottest teams in baseball. The Reds were the hottest team in baseball. The Phillies were the hottest team in baseball. The Mets had come in, you know, eight back trying to cut it back in, and, you know, you saw everything that happened. The Twins were a first-place team. The Guardians were a first-place team. The Marlins had the second-best record in the National League and still do. And the Rays had the best record in all of baseball up until just a couple of days ago, and the Braves have now opened up a four-game lead over them and will be guaranteed of having the best record going to Seattle in all of baseball. That's who they're playing. They're not playing the Nationals. They're not playing the Cardinals. They're not playing those teams. They're playing the top and the best in both leagues. The best teams in the American League, the two teams that both took turns atop the American League Central. Oh, and by the way, they just took out the team leading the American League East, and they already took a series from the second-place team in the East in Baltimore. They took a series from the team that's leading the West in Texas. It's just, you know, it's really amazing. It's not just 26-4. It's 26-4 by scoring 18 runs, by hitting six home runs, by hitting two hits and scoring two runs on the road and still winning the game. Because Charlie Morton and A.J. Minter, Nick Anderson, and Raisel Iglesias shut the other guys down. All right, Iglesias got a 16th save tonight. It was a four-batter save. Easy out, and then a double down the line. And then he got the final out on a strikeout. And so it was. It's a lockdown close. You know, that's a lockdown close. All right, let's see more of that. Oh, and the Braves also got more good news. Max Fried is joining the Stripers this weekend. Yeah, they're going, he's all right, go. So apparently he's healthy enough to start pitching in games for the Stripers. If he goes out there and has a couple of pretty good starts, we could see him in 3 weeks. Maybe, who knows, maybe a little sooner than that. And if we get Max back into this rotation, that would be a very good thing. So, Falcons and Braves, the big topics of conversation tonight, 404-726-0929. If you want to jump into the program with John Fricke, and of course, as you do, we will take a little time. Don't just call in and make your point and skedaddle here. And skedaddle is an old term for my great-grandmother. Don't just come in here and run. Just come in here and stay a while. Let's crack a beer. Let's talk it. Let's talk through this here. For the Falcons part of this, I've been talking about, I think, see, I assume certain things, okay? I assume that the coaching, the system, and the culture is already in place because of what I have seen over the 2 years, what Arthur Smith has done as a head coach, the coaching staff at large. And, you know, DMP's got hit in that weird play on the sidelines, and Frank Bush stepped up, and the team still did good things. And now Ryan Nielsen's been given a toy that's got far more talent than Dean and Frank ever had to play with. And the system of Arthur Smith that took a team that was under cap hell and using one-off guys, you know, just sign guys, and this is how good Terry Fontenot was to be able to identify those players that he could sign a one-year deal to come in and plug a hole for a year because they had no money because of the cap hell, and they still played relevant football games. They were still in the race for the division title into January and into Christmas in back-to-back seasons. I mean, it really is remarkable. So the culture there, the coaching, the system, and the culture, I assume that that's good. I also assume the running game is good because it's a top five running offensive line, if not top three. And with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson and Cordarrelle Patterson, you know what? I'm going to assume that that's going to be pretty good. The schedule, I know everybody says it's the easiest schedule in the NFL. All right, man, here's the thing about that. That's only right now. Things can change. Again, I want to point you to the end of the year. The last two games are on the road against Chicago and then the Swampers. Now, we don't know how good New Orleans is going to be. They may be pretty good. You know, maybe, who knows? Maybe it's for the division title. The Bears might actually be pretty good. And you're going to be playing in Chicago in Soldier Field on December 31st. It could be 40 and sunny. It could be 17 and snow and blowing snow. And the Bears are going to be a tough out. And suddenly the Bears are a 10-win team, and they're going to the playoffs. And you're going, that looks like a pretty tough game now. It didn't have the schedule at the beginning, but boy, it looks tough now. Yeah, that's the point. You think Jacksonville and London is going to be easy? Don't we all think Jacksonville is going to be a far better team this year? Yeah, well, you should. I hope Calvin Ridley has a big year, just not against us. And we are rooting for Calvin to have a big year, by the way, because if he does have a good enough season that Jacksonville signs him to a new contract, right now we're getting a fourth-round pick for him, but if he has a good enough year that Jacksonville signs him to a new contract, we get a second. So, you know, and let's remember, it wasn't the suspension, okay? It wasn't the suspension. It was everything else before. Remember, Calvin quit on the team. Well, I quit. Stopped playing, whatever. He had all those other issues that were going on. Let's not forget that. Everybody says, you know, he bet on football and got suspended. He only bet on football when he was not with the team because he was going through all those other problems that we really didn't understand or we couldn't figure out. I mean, it was a personal thing. I don't know what it was. We don't know what it was. You know, was it an emotional thing? Was it a family thing? Was it a? We have no idea. He just wasn't playing. He played. He stopped for a game or two, right? And he came back, played okay, and then stopped again. And we all went, what in the world's going on with Calvin? And he was just gone. And then he got suspended. All right. So he's a hell of a player. We never wanted to lose him. I never wanted to lose Calvin Ridley. I would love to have had him on this team. But I understand why they had to kind of move on too, because he was a bit of a problem. Now, if he's not a problem with Jacksonville, then, you know, he's going to be okay. And the Falcons may, you know, may get something for him. I just don't want him to have a big game in London against us, because we know how good that guy can be. Let's go to Chris, who joins us on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
What you got, Chris?
Oh, hey, I want to talk about... Okay, I want to talk about the Falcons. The thing that is the most interesting going into this season is from the offensive side of the ball. If you look at the Falcons and what personnel groups that they can have on the field at any time, they can morph into whatever they need versus their opponent for that year. I mean, for that particular game. So, like, if they're light and you have light cornerbacks or whatever like that, they can play smash mouth. They can spread people out. You know, they can do multiple things with that particular personnel. And the wide receiver core is pretty big guys, and you can just, you know, impose your will. And we, not in a long time, had a team where we could impose our will on the other team. So that's my take on it, and I just want to hear what you thought.
Yeah, we haven't had a team that could impose our will since the Super Bowl team, Chris. And that team imposed its will. I mean, they set a franchise record where they scored 504 points in the year, ran up and down the field. I mean, you're right about the height thing. What's Drake, 6'6"? What's Kyle, 6'8"? Jonnu, 6'8"? I mean, they send those guys out against a bunch of 5'10 guys, and Desmond Ridder didn't have to, you know, you could just, this is why you would think that they would be far more efficient in the red zone with those big guys, because can't you just go, hey, go get it, you know? I mean, just kind of throw it up there at about 10-foot high and see if your guy can snag it? You would think. But we'll see how they do this. So, Chris, you also wanted to weigh in on the Braves?
Oh, yeah. Man, I've been a Braves fan since the 70s, and it's just very, very impressive to watch, and they can beat you in so many different ways. And we're doing this without our full, we're not at full strength. That's scary. I think that once we get our arms back, I think we're just going to be this is a special year.
It is a special year, and we have to close the deal out. I mean, that's why I think we need to make a move here before the trade deadline to let's get better in the bullpen here. This team misses Tyler Matzek. I don't think there's any question about that. And we talk a lot about Iglesias. My bigger issue in the bullpen is probably Minter. I just, you know, he's just so, I mean, when he's on, he's good. AJ is really good. Bad AJ is all over the darn map. Thank you, Chris. Do appreciate the call. 404-726-0929. As we talk about the Braves and the Falcons, Braves coming off a 2-1 win in the opening game of a 3-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays. They will send Spencer Strider to the mound tomorrow against Taj Bradley. And on Sunday, they'll send Bryce Elder to the mound against one of the aces, Zach Eflin. We're a little familiar with Zach Eflin in our history. And Zach can pitch. Now, we do miss Sean McClanahan. He is not pitching on the 15-day DL. Sean McClanahan probably might have been a starter for the American League in the All-Star game. So we won't see him this time around. McClanahan's, I think, 11-1 this year. And he's a tough out, McClanahan. Eflin can pitch, too. And Tyler Glasnow, who pitched tonight, had not been great. And he just... You know, the second inning of the game, the Braves struck out four times. They struck out four times. They actually struck out six times in a row going back to the first because Acuna led off with a ground out, and then Ozzie struck out, and then Bradley struck out to end the first inning. And then in the second inning, you had strikeout, 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 but Ozuna got a pass ball, got to first, and another strikeout. They had struck out six times in a row, four in one inning. Ended up striking out 13 times in the game. Only had two hits. Ozuna had a single, and Murphy had a two-run home run. And one critical error put the man on in front of Murphy. And that was it. Braves had two hits, 13 strikeouts, and still won the game. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking around baseball, you're going, what is these guys ever lose? I mean, the Phils are hot right now, and they haven't made up any ground. We've seen that before, though. They were hot before and made up no ground. And they're going, oh, my God, we can't have any crowd on these guys. They never lose. I told you that loss the other night, which they shouldn't have lost, just made them mad. That's all it did. But 4-1 on this trip, right? 3-1. 3-1. 3-1 on the trip. Still, 10 straight series wins. I mean, the numbers that this team puts up are phenomenal. 404-726-0929. Coming up, too, if you missed it earlier, our conversation with our basketball expert, DeShaun Tate, what he had to say about the DeJounte Murray deal and what it means for the Atlanta Hawks. It's all ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I might go to that here because I'm getting really tired.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you as we continue to monitor what's going on in the NBA and the big news that happened for the Atlanta Hawks this week with the announcement that DeJounte Murray had a new four-year, $120 million contract in his back pocket and the reaction to that and what it all means. And for that, we turn to the man who knows the Hawks better than anybody that I know, and that is DeShaun Tate. He is our Atlanta Hawks expert and, of course, the podcaster and the basketball wizard that he is, and he's on with me right now. Hey, DeShaun.
Hey, good evening, Fricky. I appreciate you for having me on. Your words far too kind, but just kicking back right now, man, with the six-month-old, watching a little summer league. Let me tell you something. Scoot Henderson, I know people in this market, of course they know, already being from here at Kell High School, but he's the real deal, man. He's as good as advertised.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. I mean, we'll see what, you know, the Atlanta Hawks have, you know, in terms of, you know, their summer league action as we kind of go work through summer league and get to, you know, the impact of some of the younger players on this team. And I can get to that a little bit later in the interview, but let's begin with a big headline here. That it dropped on Thursday night at 6:20, I thought was kind of interesting. I wasn't expecting a multi-year deal for DeJounte Murray. I guess I was thinking that maybe, well, he's got a year left on his contract, and they'll either A, trade him, or B, they'll let him play into the season to see if this whole DeJounte Murray trade thing works under Quinn Snyder, and if it doesn't, then by the trade deadline you can kind of move him. But apparently they decided that they wanted to keep him, and they gave him 4 years and $120 million in a veteran maximum deal. They even gave him a player option, Deshaun.
Yeah, I think it was a smart idea for the Hawks. And let me tell you something. I mean, it was something that was needed. It was something that was necessary. I mean, since Trey has been here and has put his stamp on this league and obviously on this franchise, on this organization, you know, there's been a lot of conversations about needing help. I'm not sure that any of the guys that they've brought in over the course of the last 4 or 5 years since Trey had been here, that you would quantify anyone as much as you would DeJounte Murray as that help for Trae Young. And obviously we know about the unfortunate set of circumstances this year. Things didn't go the way that they really had wanted it to. But when you start talking about a guy who's just as good off the ball defensively as he is on the ball, which everybody knows that he's a great offensive player as well, talking about DeJounte Murray, giving these two guys a fair chance at coexisting with one another, developing and establishing that chemistry in the backcourt and all those good things. And, you know, obviously when you have the kind of year that they had and then you pair that with the coaching change, you didn't really get what you thought that you might have, and giving him a chance now at a new deal, extending him, now going to see him in a Hawks uniform extensively now, I think was the right move and the even more important, smarter move for the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, I will say this, in the reaction that we got from DeJounte Murray and the reaction that we later got from Trae Young, they both seem excited about this. So, okay, that's good. Now we have to see how this is going to kind of work and how Quinn Snyder is going to tweak this. Deshaun, one of the things that Trae Young had said postseason was that Quinn Snyder had told him he wanted to go, he wanted Trae to go back to being and really working on and becoming a real three-point threat. We had talked about how we had lost kind of logo Trae, and I think he wants to bring that back. Is there some thought of letting DeJounte run point and letting Trae become more of an off-ball guy?
I don't know. I think that there should be. If you want to win, you got to be able to make adjustments. You know, Trae, one thing that, you know, we can all attest to is prior to DeJounte getting here, the last thing that we had saw was Trae Young up against the Miami Heat, where they paired so many different types of defenders, you know, bulkier defenders, lengthier defenders, taller defenders, more aggressive defenders, and so many different things. And you threw that all at Trae, and it gives them a little bit of an option to do some different things. I mean, hey, you look at Golden State, by far not trying to compare number 11 to number 30, but you have a lot of instances where we see, you know, Draymond Green being that orchestrator of the offense, that, you know, traffic light instructor or that director, if you will, where you do see Steph have that opportunity to come off screens and do some different things. And I think that that's beneficial to give Trae an opportunity to not just be have so much priority on the ball all the time, 24/7. And I think it's a good look just to be able to switch it up every now and then, give the offense a little bit of a different look, give Trae a little bit of a different look as well. And by that way, you're improving both of these guys' games by giving them different looks in the process.
All right, so that's great. Deshaun Tate, our Hawks and basketball expert with John Fricke. That's great. But now here in the offseason, you've managed to unload the contract of John Collins and, of course, John Collins, and you extended a guy that was already under contract. You gave him a new deal. That's pretty much it. I mean, there was one other minor little trade that doesn't amount to much of anything. They haven't done anything. Are they going to do anything? Other teams seem to still be trading. And are the Hawks going to do anything, Deshaun Tate?
I would imagine that they would. How big is that move going to be? I don't know that answer. I know that there's been a lot of different rumors at one point in time, maybe taking a look at someone like a Grant Williams. Obviously, he's off the board now as he's a Maverick. But, you know, the elephant in the room, I guess, nowadays is Pascal Siakam. Now, in terms of what you got to give up, maybe that's the question. I'm not sure that that's the answers to everything that's gone on with the Atlanta Hawks in terms of, you know, us being able to see them contend again the way that they did a few years ago. But, you know, I do think that a move will be made. How significant of a move, I don't know. I don't think it has to be this big star or this big name player. It has to be the right fit, number one, and hopefully somebody that can provide a little bit of edge, a little bit of maturity, some winning pedigree or winning resume to some degree. Obviously, Siakam has that. I understand that. But a little bit of edginess, a guy that's in the locker room that can, you know, bring some maturity and bring some experience and be a no-nonsense guy and somebody who just wants to win and can bring the levels of the other guys up in the locker room who are still a little young. I mean, this isn't the young Atlanta Hawks anymore. Remember, a couple of years ago, we were talking about the young Atlanta. Expectations are coming with this now. It'll be nice to see them still be able to grow under bringing in another player that could help develop some things off of the floor in addition to on it.
If their plan was to just kind of do a rotating start thing, more or less, where you would have Clint Capella and DeAndre Hunter, and then, of course, the backcourt of DeJounte and Trey. And on the other side, you either went with a, you know, at times maybe you put Okongwu in with Capella to have a double low post presence, or at times you went with Sadiq Bey to have the three-point and the toughness, or at times you went with Bogdan Bogdanovic. And what you did was you did Bogey out there, and you're just going to fire away and launch threes all day. And Quinn Snyder has said he wants to shoot a lot of threes, and maybe they'd lead the league in threes, I guess. The only problem I see with that, I mean, it's fine if you want to do that, but the main problem is when you start talking about Okongwu, Bey, and Bogey as being primary players, which is fine again, is that you say those guys are also the bench. So what's left on the bench?
Yeah, and I thought that was one of the bigger things. That's what me and Caleb Johnson would always talk about on our podcast was, you know, the improvement to the bench that I think this team has to have. And to me, I think that's a bigger priority than bringing in a big star name player that can help come and contribute to this team. We're just being completely transparent about it. You know, these Comedy brothers and this and that stuff sounds great and defensive-minded players and everything else, but reality is that's just not going to cut it with a pair of scissors. You've got to be able to bring in some guys that are, you know, going to mix it up and, you know, not be one-dimensional, you know, some guys that are going to be willing to do all the little things, do all the dirty work, play some defense. Where's the Ivan Johnson guy that we used to have in this town that was just willing to muck it up and do every little thing that it took in order to win basketball?
Solomon Hill. Let's go to Solomon Hill.
Agreed. And who was the leader in this locker room and helped bring Trey up amongst a couple other players. So I agree with you as far as from a bench standpoint as well. And then the other thing is now that you don't have the John Collins, not that you really had a rim protector in John Collins, but you don't nearly have what I think enough serviceable big. You know, the Kaminsky thing obviously kind of showed exactly what it was going to be. So you got to bring in some other guys that I think can provide some help because you're talking about Okongwu and Capella now, which already isn't enough offense as is. But, of course, you could put Sadiq Bey situational into that position, but there's just really not enough bench and or front court. And I think that's the next thing to adjust for this team.
You know, it's so interesting. You're a Big Ten fan. I'm a Big Ten fan. We both watched Frank Kaminsky at Wisconsin and Bruno Fernanda at Maryland. And both of us, at least I thought, both were going to be really good pro players because they were so good in the Big Ten. And they came in and they just became kind of guys, I guess. Don't really know what happened to them.
Now we got a chance to watch another Big Ten player who was the number 15 pick in this NBA draft. We're going to get a chance to hope Hawks fans are watching Summer League tonight. I think it's a 9:30 or a 10:30 tonight. It's Kings and Hawks on this evening. And getting a chance to see one of those Wolverines go out there and trying to see if he can do some things. And so I'm excited to see, you know, what the Hawks are going to look like. Maybe not necessarily the names on the roster that may stick out to a lot of people, but just looking at some of the little things and try not to put too much emphasis and stock on Summer League. I know a lot of people tend to do that. I don't care what game you're watching, what player you're watching tonight, number one player or number 15 pick. Don't put too much emphasis on it. Just sit back and enjoy and let's come together as Hawks fans and, you know, just kind of, do what we do. Evaluate this game, but just try not to put too much into it.
All right. Well, we'll certainly get more into let's see what the Hawks do in the remainder of this offseason as they head towards training camp, which isn't very far away. You'd be surprised how quick this is going to come. And, of course, that'll lead us to college basketball. But I want to jump to another topic with you, Deshaun, in the final couple of minutes we have.
Sure.
Just to prep the fans out there, the NBA is talking again about, and it sounds like it's actually going to happen, the massive change to their schedule next year. Not this season, but the following season, where they're going to go from 82 regular season games to 72 and institute this new NBA Cup, which is the in-season tournament that will culminate in a Final Four in Las Vegas in December. Understand that with this cup, everybody's going to be involved initially in this NBA Cup. For all the fans out there, I'm talking to the fans that are listening, Deshaun. You could actually be playing the Detroit Pistons, I'll just pick a team, in Detroit in a regular season game, and two nights later you're down in Atlanta playing the Detroit Pistons, but it's not a regular season game. No, it's an opening round game of the NBA Cup. And you're going to go, wait a second, what? Hey, it's going to be a different tournament in the season that won't count towards the regular season standings. I guess we'll all get used to it, but it sounds like from Adam Silver, this is going to happen, Deshaun.
Yeah, a little odd, a little awkward, especially with the timing. We're just now still in the, you know, developing learning process and getting comfortable with the play-in games alone, let alone trying to add something else. I'm not sure it was the brightest idea or what they're trying to keep up with or whatever the case may be. Still got to do a little bit more reading up on it, learning how some of it works. I don't want to come on here and give you, you know, play radio type answer, but you know, I think to implement something this early, or this, not even this early, but just this close to what we're already still trying to get comfortable with as fans of this game, I think is going to be a difficult, you know, pill to swallow a little bit, and just something else to kind of keep up with and learn how it works and everything else. I'm not sure that I could have saw this coming, you know, before they changed the ages to, you know, guys being able to enter the NBA draft per se, but nonetheless, right. It looks like it's about to happen. It looks like it's pretty much just about here. If not, before you blink your eyes and say happy birthday, it'll be here before you know it. Just something else to get warmed up to. So just much me, just much like you and everybody else maybe that's listening. It's just time to just accept things the way that they are. It's just totally different, much like regular everyday lives ourselves after COVID. Just something else to get used to, I guess.
Right. Deshaun, it's always a pleasure. Where can the fans find you, Deshaun?
At Tate's Take Hoops. I'm going to be tweeting out a whole bunch of stuff. I'm a little upset, freaky, that I'm not at in Vegas like I should be for Summer League. But nonetheless, I'll be watching every single game, tweeting things out at Tate's Take Hoops. TateStakeHoops, per usual, where basketball lives. Thanks, Fricky.
As always, Deshaun Tate, our basketball and Hawks expert on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 92 on The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. It's been a lot of fun filling in for John Chuckery over these past three nights, but my friend will be back on Monday. Day-Day, you're headed for vacation, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Headed to Puerto Rico for the week.
Are you flying straight into San Juan?
Yes, we are. Yep, so leaving out, I'll do my high school Prep Sports Nation show tomorrow night. Here on 92.9 The Game after Atlanta United, and then Sunday, head on out.
You know, I was living up in North Georgia, and I was coming down 75 to go to the airport to go to San Juan, and my wife at the time, my first wife, she starts screaming at me in the car. She says, "We have to go back, we have to go back." I said, "Why?" She goes, "We forgot our passports." I said, "You don't need a passport." She goes, "Yeah, you do. It's going to Puerto Rico." I said, it's the United States. You don't need a passport. And she was like, "No, we got to go." I'm like, "You don't need a," and this is the days before cell phones where we could look stuff up. I went, "You don't need a passport." And so, you know, but she was adamant. And we were just south of Dalton. We had to turn around, go all the way back, and then come back, you know, after we got our passports. It was, like, ridiculous. It was like, and then we land, and, you know, I said, look at that, the American flag. What do you know? Yeah, she didn't understand it was the United States. But anyway, that's that story. How about the Braves? Did a 2-1 tonight. You know that they're on pace for 110 wins?
Yeah, and I believe they are, I saw something, they're the first team to reach the amount of home runs that they have before the break. So, you know, I think what was key tonight, too, was Charlie Morton giving them six solid innings, you know? You know, because, you know, for them to only have two hits, I mean, I think that was definitely big.
Oh yeah, it was huge. I mean, Charlie had another solid outing, and then Minner and who was it? Anderson, and then of course Iglesias shutting the door down. And we had a lockdown save from Rysell. Rysell is somebody I've given, you know, some kind of, you know, question marks to. But you know, I mean, can he grow into that guy? He's been that guy before. I was calling for him to be that guy last year when I was getting frustrated with Jansen. I was like, let Iglesias close, you know. But all in all, we had the one caller earlier tonight who said, pitching, and of course pitching is a concern, but again, Max Fried's going to go to Gwinnett. He'll be there this weekend. He's joining the Stripers, so he's not very far away. If he gets a couple quality starts in down there, they're going to bring him up to the, you know how this works. They don't wait long. You got two starts, you stretch, you know, he's got to get stretched out, maybe three. You know, he gets three starts under his belt. If he can go 75, 80 pitches, you know, and suddenly is there, okay, let's bring him back. So, you know, he could be up with the big club, you know, in the next 3 weeks. So we'll see how that kind of all works out there. The pitching staff at large, Day-Day, the Braves, for all the runs they've scored, they have allowed the second fewest runs in all of baseball. Only Minnesota has allowed fewer runs. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, statistically, Braves are leading in almost every category on both sides, offensively and defensively. And again, to your point, like with the pitching, you know, I guess you would say deficiencies, because, you know, once we get past the two starters, we're kind of, you know, kind of on a whim. For them to be where they're at, and again, largely in part because offensively they've put up so many runs. You know, especially those, you know, early in games, they get out so big on teams. And I think that's been key, you know, these big leads that, you know, so when there is, you know, they're having the bullpen games and things of that nature, the leads where, you know, it's pretty comfortable for them to just, you know, tough it out defensively and hold on. And I mean, they're just, again, to your point in conversation throughout the night, man, I even tweeted it over the weekend. I think they're just fun to watch. They're cool. They are a cool team to watch.
And they beat you in every way. They beat you. They can beat you in a 2-1 game, and they can beat you in a
14-11-10
game.
Right.
You know, they can beat you 16-4. They can beat you, you know. So, yeah, this team is, you know, it is really a special team. I mean, now 59-28, four games ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays. They will have the best record going into the All-Star break, regardless what happens. And we have Spencer Strider and Bryce Elder on the mound tomorrow and Sunday in Tampa. That stadium, you know, you can't get a ticket tonight, right? And it sold out all weekend. I think tickets are going for like $100 at the minimum to get
yeah,
in for a baseball game.
But well, the thing is, too, it's they don't open up the upper deck either in that stadium, apparently. I can't think of the guy's name who covers the Rays. He was on with Dukes and Bell the other day, and he was saying that, you know, they probably should have opened it up, because I think there was one series, the only other series they sold out was against the Yankees, and they didn't have that upper level opened up. So you would think that the two hottest teams going into the break facing off, you would think they'd open that and try to maximize that, but hey.
Right, they play it at 25,000 capacity. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, how Atlanta United kind of cuts off, you know, some of Mercedes-Benz Stadium and reduces the capacity to like 40-some thousand, right, for some games. They do that at Tropicana Field. And you know, I'm going to guess that unlike Mercedes-Benz, that the reason that they don't is because since it would be, you know, just once or twice or once off or twice off, they don't have the personnel.
That,
you know, for concessions
and ushers and things of that nature. Yeah, that
right.
could
they
be
just
the
don't
case.
Have the personnel.
Yeah, that could be the case.
You can't just hire them on a game-by-game basis, you know, and they don't have them. So they play it at $25,000, but they sell out, and you can't get a ticket right now. For the Braves again, 59-28, they are 9.5 games now ahead of the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, 10 up on the Dodgers, 11 up on the Phillies, and those are the closest teams to them in the National League. The Phillies would qualify for the playoffs today. So, and I got a Phillies fan that's giving me, the Phillies are playing. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. So he's all hot and bothered about the fact the Phillies would make the playoffs. I'm like, good, congrats. You know, what do you want? Yeah, I mean, all right. We just kicked your rear end. All right. Did you miss that? Do you play poker?
No, the only card game I play actually is blackjack, and then of course spades. And as far as, but yeah, those are only two things I really mess with.
I play poker, and I love playing poker. And one of my goals in life is to be to play in the main event in Los Angeles for the World Series of Poker.
I was going to say now, this year.
Yeah, this year they have 8,774 players in the main event. And it's $10,000 to get in, by the way. Okay.
Well, what's the pot?
So you can see. Oh, the pot is millions.
$10,000 just to enter? That's still a lot of money. You got to be really good in poker to feel confident to just drop 10 grand on a chance to win.
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do is just get into the money. I mean, that's the first goal, which is about the top 40% of the field. You know, you just got to survive, advance or survive, advance or survive, advance or survive. You know, let the field whittle down. And if you get to the top, I don't know how many it is, I'd have to go see at the end of the tournament. You know, you get to the top 2,500, you're probably going to get your money back. You know what I mean? So, or something like that. So if I decided to play in the World Series of Poker, I'm harboring no necessarily illusions of me winning it. You know, some of it is dumb luck. You have to know how to play poker. I know how to play poker, but you got to get lucky and you got to get hot and all that kind of stuff. And you know when to shove and when not to shove. But two players of the 8,774 this year, Day-Day, they went all in on the first hand and lost.
Mm.
Two players went all in and lost. I don't care. I had this argument with Abe. The best hand you can get, because you get two cards, right? Okay, mm-hmm. You get two cards. In poker, you get two cards. And then there's the kind of community cards. It's the turn, the flop, the turn in the river. The five cards up there, and you make your best five-card hand out of the... Everybody uses the five cards, or the 3 to 5 cards in the middle. And you use your two cards. Whoever has the best hand wins. The best possible hand you could be dealt in your two cards is two aces. And, you know, it happens rarely. It actually happened to me a couple of times, including the very first hand I ever played live in Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel. I sat down at a poker table, bam, bullets. I went, okay, is that how it starts? All right. So that's the best hand you could be dealt. And everybody would tell you that in certain cases, you're going to go all in with two aces. You got two aces, you're going all in. If I got dealt two aces on the very first hand at the World Series of Poker and I just paid $10,000, I would fold. And Abe thought I was if anybody goes in all in front of me, I'm folding. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm saying, I am not going to pay $10,000 to throw two aces out there to have them cracked and have some guy have like two queens and the flop comes queen 6-4 and he's got three queens and I'm out. I'm not going to have that happen. And he's like, you're out of your mind. You have to go all in with two aces. And I went, no, you don't. And we had this big argument, Abe and I, about going in all in with two aces. I said, I'm there to play. I'm not there to go in. Well, you're there to win. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fair. But I'm not there to get thrown out in the and sure enough, two guys in the tournament got thrown out of the first hand. One of them taped it. Man, put it up on the Twitter, and so I watched it today, and he's like, oh, that really sucks. I'm like, man, you spent $10,000 to play one hand of poker, and you're gone? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You don't know. There's no all in on the first hand. The only way I'd go all in on the first hand is if I had, like, you know, two aces and the board came with one ace and then the turn of the river came with the fourth ace and I had four aces. I would go, okay, as long as there's no straight flush out there, I'm going, okay, I got four aces. I mean, I'll go all in, you know? I mean, I have to be 100% certain I'm winning before I'm going all in on the first hand. No chance. You know, and you would say, well, that's just a weenie way to play. Well, yeah, you got to be, see, the way it works is you got to be conservative early, and then you get more aggressive as the rounds go on, because most people are kind of loose early, and then they get tighter, and that's the way you play tournament poker. I start kind of really tight, and then as it goes on, I'll expand out and start pushing and shoving a little bit. That's how I play. I love to check raise. That's one of my favorite things to do in all of poker. I love to check raise. So poker fans don't know what that means. And I love to shove out check raises. So, I can't imagine paying $10,000 of your hard-earned money to play one hand of poker. You know, I mean, if I were to play in the World Series of Poker, I'd be real tight the first day. I would say, I'm going to make it through the first day. At the very least, I'm coming back to play on the second day. If I get knocked out on the second day, I at least made it through one day. You know, I'm going to see 8 hours of poker, you know, or something like that in the first day. I'm going to get my $10,000 worth in that regard. If I don't make the money, I'm going to at least play some. I'm not going to go all the way to Vegas, spend $10,000, play one hand and leave. That would just suck beyond words. I can't believe guys would do this. It just amazes me that they would actually go all in. What are you looking at on the board that would say, yeah, I think I can risk that? What are you doing? You know, some donkey over there shoves you. Okay, you know what? You just walk away. Let the donkey win. I bluffed. All right, whatever, donkey. I mean, you know, man, I just find that to be, that story, when I saw it, I just shook my head. I'm like, really? $10,000, Day-Day. $10,000.
Yeah. I hope they're all right. Hand. Yeah, hope they're okay.
you would have been better taking $10,000 and putting it on a hand of blackjack.
Right.
Putting $10,000 on the pass line at a craps table. Yeah, no. All right, my thanks to you, Day-Day. I really appreciate the job you did over the last 3 days. I get a little rest, and then I'm back at 10 a.m. doing more of this stuff.
It's a pleasure John working Chuckery with back, you, man.
Yeah, have a great vacation, my friend.
Thank you.
John Chuckery back Monday night right here on Sports Radio 90 to 9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Northern Kia Studios. It's been a lot of fun filling in for John Chuckery over these past three nights, but my friend will be back on Monday. Day-Day, you're headed for vacation, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Headed to Puerto Rico for the week.
Are you flying straight into San Juan?
Yes, we are. Yep, so I'll do my high school Prep Sports Nation show tomorrow night. Here on 92.9 mm-hmm. The Game after Atlanta United, and then Sunday, head on out.
You know, I was living up in North Georgia, and I was coming down 75 to go to the airport to go to San Juan, and my wife at the time, my first wife, she starts screaming at me in the car. She says, "We have to go back, we have to go back." I said, "Why?" She goes, "We forgot our passports." I said, "You don't need a passport." She goes, "Yeah, you do. It's going to Puerto Rico." I said, it's the United States. You don't need a passport. And she was like, "No, we got to go." I'm like, "You don't need a..." And this is the days before cell phones where we could look stuff up. I went, "You don't need a passport." And so, you know, but she was adamant. And we were just south of Dalton. We had to turn around, go all the way back, and then come back, you know, after we got our passports. It was like ridiculous. It was like, and then we land. And, you know, I said, "Look at that. The American flag. What do you know?" Yeah, she didn't understand it was the United States. But anyway, that's that story. How about the Braves? Day-Day, 2-1 tonight. You know that they're on pace for 110 wins.
Yeah, and I believe they are. I saw something. They're the first team to reach the amount of home runs that they have before the break. So, you know, I think what was key tonight too was Charlie Morton giving them six solid innings. You know. You know, because, you know, for them to only have two hits, I mean, I think that was definitely big.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. I mean, Charlie had another solid outing, and then Minner and who was it, Anderson, and then, of course, Iglesias shutting the door down. And we had a lockdown save from Rysell. Rysell is somebody I've given, you know, some kind of, you know, question marks to. But, you know, I mean, can he grow into that guy? He's been that guy before. I was calling for him to be that guy last year when I was getting frustrated with Jansen. I was like, let Iglesias close, you know? But all in all, we had the one caller earlier tonight who said, pitching. And, of course, pitching is a concern. But, again, Max Fried's going to go to Gwinnett. He'll be there this weekend. He's joining the Stripers, so he's not very far away. If he gets a couple quality starts in down there, they're going to bring him up to the – you know how this works. They don't wait long. You got two starts, you stretch – you know, he's got to get stretched out, maybe three. You know, he gets three starts under his belt. If he can go 75, 80 pitches, you know, and suddenly is there, okay, let's bring him back. So, you know, he could be up with the big club, you know, in the next 3 weeks. So we'll see how that kind of all works out there. The pitching staff at large, Day-Day, the Braves, for all the runs they've scored, they have allowed the second fewest runs in all of baseball. Only Minnesota's allowed fewer runs. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, statistically, Braves are leading in almost every category on both sides, offensively and defensively. And again, to your point, like with the pitching, you know, I guess you would say deficiencies, because, you know, once we get past the two starters, we're kind of, you know, kind of on a whim. For them to be where they're at, and again, largely in part because offensively they've put up so many runs. You know, especially those, you know, early in games, they get out. So, they get out so big on teams, and that's been, I think that's been key, you know, these big leads that, you know, so when there is, you know, the, you know, they're having the bullpen games and things of that nature, the leads where, you know, it's pretty comfortable for them to just, you know, tough it out defensively and hold on. And I mean, they're just, again, to your point in conversation throughout the night, man, they are, this is, I even tweeted it last over the weekend, I think, they're just fun to watch. They're cool. They are a cool team to watch.
And they beat you in every, you know, in every way. They beat you. They can beat you in a 2-1 game, and they can beat you in a
14-11-10
game.
Right.
They, you know, they can beat you 16-4. They can beat you, you know. So yeah, this team is, you know, it is really a special team. I mean, now 59-28, 4 games ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays. They will have the best record going into the All-Star break, regardless what happens. And we have Spencer Strider and Bryce Elder on the mound tomorrow and Sunday in Tampa. That stadium, you know, you can't get a ticket tonight, right? And it sold out all weekend. I think tickets are going for like $100 at the minimum to get
yeah,
in for a baseball game.
But well, the thing is, too, it's they don't open up the upper deck either in that stadium, apparently. I can't think of the guy's name who covers the Rays. He was on with Dukes and Bell the other day, and he was saying that, you know, they probably should have opened it up, because I think there was one series, the only other series they sold out was against the Yankees, and they didn't have that upper level opened up. So you would think that the two hottest teams going into the break facing off, you would think they'd open that and try to maximize that, but hey.
Right, they play it at 25,000 capacity. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, how Atlanta United kind of cuts off, you know, some of Mercedes-Benz Stadium and reduces the capacity to like 40-some thousand, right, for some games. They do that at Tropicana Field. And you know, I'm going to guess that unlike Mercedes-Benz, that the reason that they don't is because since it would be, you know, just once or twice or once off or twice off, they don't have the personnel.
That,
you know, for concessions
and ushers and things of that nature. Yeah, that
right.
could
they
be the case.
They just don't have the personnel.
Yeah, that could be the case.
You can't just hire them on a game-by-game basis, you know, and they don't have them. So so they play it at 25,000. But they sell out, and you can't get a ticket right now. For the Braves, again, 59-28, they are 9.5 games now ahead of the Marlins and the Diamondbacks. 10 up on the Dodgers, 11 up on the Phillies. And those are the closest teams to them in the National League. The Phillies would qualify for the playoffs today. So, and I got a Phillies fan that's giving me, the Phillies are in playoffs. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. So he's all hot and bothered about the fact the Phillies would make the playoffs. I'm like, good, congrats. You know, what do you want? Yeah, I mean, all right. We just kicked your rear end. All right. Did you miss that? Do you play poker?
No, the only card game I play actually is blackjack, and then of course spades. And as far as, but yeah, those are only two things I really mess with.
I play poker, and I love playing poker. And one of my goals in life is to be to play in the main event in Los Angeles for the World Series of Poker.
I was going to say that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this year they have 8,774 players in the main event. And it's $10,000 to get in, by the way. Okay.
Well, what's the pot?
So you can see. Oh, the pot is millions.
$10,000 just to enter? That's still a lot of money. You got to be really good in poker to feel confident to just drop 10 grand on a chance to win.
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do is just get into the money. I mean, that's the first goal, which is about the top 40% of the field. You know, you just got to survive, advance to survive. You know, let the field whittle down. And if you get to the top, I don't know how many it is, I'd have to go see at the end of the tournament. You know, you get to the top 2,500, you're probably going to get your money back. You know what I mean? So, or something like that. If I decided to play in the World Series of Poker, I'm harboring no necessarily illusions of me winning it. You know, some of it is dumb luck. You have to know how to play poker. I know how to play poker, but you got to get lucky and you got to get hot and all that kind of stuff. And you know when to shove and when not to shove. But two players of the 8,774 this year, Day-Day, they went all in on the first hand and lost.
Mm.
Two players went all in and lost. I don't care. I had this argument with Abe. The best hand you can get, because you get two cards, right? Okay, mm-hmm. You get two cards. In poker, you get two cards. And then there's the kind of community cards. It's the turn, the flop, the turn in the river. The five cards up there, and you make your best five-card hand out of the... Everybody uses the five cards, or the three to five cards in the middle. And you use your two cards. Whoever has the best hand wins. The best possible hand you could be dealt in your two cards is two aces. And, it happens rarely. It actually happened to me a couple of times, including the very first hand I ever played live in Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel. I sat down at a poker table, bam, bullets. I went, okay, is that how it starts? All right. So that's the best hand you could be dealt. And everybody would tell you that in certain cases, you're going to go all in with two aces. You got two aces, you're going all in. If I got dealt two aces on the very first hand at the World Series of Poker and I just paid $10,000, I would fold. And Abe thought I was the if anybody, I said, if anybody goes in all in front of me, I'm folding. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm saying, I am not going to pay $10,000 to throw two aces out there to have them cracked and have some guy have like two queens and the flop comes queen 6-4 and he's got three queens and I'm out. I'm not going to have that happen. And he's like, you're out of your mind. You have to go all in with two aces. And I went, no, you don't. And we had this big argument, Abe and I, about going in all in with two aces. I said, I'm there to play. I'm not there to go in. Well, you're there to win. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fair. But I'm not there to get thrown out. And sure enough, two guys in the tournament got thrown out of the first hand. One of them taped it. Man, put it up on the Twitter, and so I watched it today, and he's like, oh, that really sucks. I'm like, man, you spent $10,000 to play one hand of poker, and you're gone? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You don't know. There's no all-in on the first hand. The only way I'd go all-in on the first hand is if I had, like, two aces, and the board came with one ace, and then the turn of the river came with the fourth ace, and I had four aces. I would go, okay, as long as there's no straight flush out there, I'm going, okay, I got four aces. I'll go all in, I mean, I have to be 100% certain I'm winning before I'm going all in on the first hand. No chance. And you would say, well, that's just a weenie way to play. Well, yeah, you got to be. See, the way it works is you got to be conservative early, and then you get more aggressive as the rounds go on, because most people are kind of loose early, and then they get tighter, and that's the way you play tournament poker. I start kind of really tight, and then as it goes on, I'll expand out and start pushing and shoving a little bit. That's how I play. I love to check raise. That's one of my favorite things to do in all of poker. I love to check raise. So poker fans don't know what that means. And I love to shove out check raises. So, I can't imagine paying $10,000 of your hard-earned money to play one hand of poker. You know, I mean, if I were to play in the World Series of Poker, I'd be real tight the first day. I would say, I'm going to make it through the first day. At the very least, I'm coming back to play on the second day. If I get knocked out on the second day, I at least made it through one day. You know, I'm going to see 8 hours of poker, or something like that in the first day. I'm going to get my $10,000 worth in that regard. If I don't make the money, I'm going to at least play some. I'm not going to go all the way to Vegas, spend $10,000, play one hand and leave. That would just suck beyond words. I can't believe guys would do this. It amazes me that they would actually go all in. I what are you looking at on the board that would say, yeah, I think I can risk that? What are you doing? Some donkey over there shoves you. Okay, you know what? You just walk away. Let the donkey win. I bluffed. All right, whatever, donkey. I mean, man, I just find that to be, that story, when I saw it, I just shook my head. I'm like, really? $10,000, Day-Day. $10,000.
Yeah. I hope they're all right. Hand. Yeah, hope they're okay.
you would have been better taking $10,000 and putting it on a hand of blackjack.
Right.
Putting $10,000 on the pass line at a craps table. Yeah, no. All right, my thanks to you, Day-Day. I really appreciate the job you did over the last 3 days. I get a little rest, and then I'm back at 10 a.m. doing more of this stuff.
It's a pleasure working with you, man.
Have a great vacation, my friend.
Thank you.
John Chuckery back Monday night right here on Sports Radio 90 to end the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
they
it.
Can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.